Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin. We're here tonight with our panel, and we hope that everyone had a very Merry Christmas this past 2021 Christmas, getting ready to usher in 2022. I like to say the dates because sometimes we go back to the recording and we don't know what year. So we just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And in weeks past, we were talking about the importance of applying the Word of God or applying truth, getting a proper understanding of how to apply faith in the cross and what it means. We looked at Romans chapter 6 to see the mechanics behind how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. And we said before, faith has to be exclusively placed in Christ and Him crucified. So, because we were talking earlier, we know that everybody say we have faith. Everybody always saying have faith in God, have faith in faith the size of a mustard seed. But we rarely declare or define faith where it has to be placed, because if we're left to ourselves or on our own, the thing what we're going to do is we're going to try to live for God based upon our own personal understanding of things, head knowledge, previous teaching, our upbringing, right? The biggest problem with most of the disciples and the people that followed Christ, and we're not just talking about the 12, was the fact that they did not realize that they were still in bondage to their old nature, to their flesh, to their sin nature, to their outlook. Even though the sin nature is crucified when we come to Christ, there is a process. We still have to daily die to self. Paul said, I die daily, right? And so this dying daily is for the purpose of the Holy Spirit to be able to come forth. He's a gentleman. He's not going to override the believer's will. He's not going to force his way. God, he said, whosoever will, let him come, right? Satan is the opposite. Satan is going to force his will through deception, through trickery, through schemes, through devices. The Bible says don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, okay? Satan is very clever. He still has powers as a fallen angel. He's still he can outwit any of us on any given occasion, but he's not omnipresent, okay? He's not omnipotent. He's not God, Jehovah God. Now, because of the fall, Satan was legally given the right to rule this world system. Okay, we have to see this. He reigns over the world system. I didn't say he reigned over the world. I didn't say he was creator. I didn't say he was Jehovah God. God is in control, but legally Satan gained the right to the title deed of the earth, and we'll see that in Revelation. This is why he's able to wreak havoc and all this stuff right now, still having access to him. There is a war. God declared war on Satan in Genesis chapter 3. He said the seed of the woman would crush his head. See that? And he would bruise his heel. This seed is Christ. The whole Bible is the story of Jesus Christ as the last Adam, Jesus Christ as the seed of the woman. See, Satan has been on a warpath to thwart God's plan. He's trying to destroy God's plan. We have to see the bigger plan, the bigger picture of the plan. See, we get so engrossed with reading certain scriptures and getting caught up in the story of the Bible instead of seeing the whole plan of God's redemption plan, the whole purpose behind the plan of God. See, and so when we look at it, we have to see that Satan rules through deception. This world system in the book of Revelation talks about earth dwellers. We are not earth dwellers. We are not inhabitants of the earth. We are here in the world, but we're not of the world. You see this? The believer has to understand that we are pilgrims passing through. In the book of Revelation, it starts talking about the woes and the things that will come upon the earth dwellers. These people have rejected God. These people have shaken their fist at God, and they will be so happy when it appears as if the witnesses that God sent on the earth to preach for 3.5 days or a certain amount of time, they will be sent to preach. And when they will be allowed to, the Antichrist will kill them, and they will lay in the street for 3.5 days. And these earth dwellers will be so excited. We're not earth dwellers. We're passing through. But too many Christians are caught up in this earth, what we see, establishing our home here on this earth. This is not our home. See, we have to understand that we are part of God's plan. We are the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, we're here to promote God's will. See, Satan and the earth dwellers want to thwart God's plan. Y'all see this? This is the reason for so many wars and famines and deaths and all this stuff, because Satan is the God. When we look at World War I and World War II, when you look at the true history and the men and women who sit in spiritual wickedness in high places, they concocted these wars and created, they were man-made famines. See this? God created the earth where it can feed everybody. The system that God has feeds the world. There's no reason why there should be starvation and all this stuff. There's no reason why people don't have a place to live. The earth is big enough to house everyone. But there are men and women who are greedy after gain and money that purposely set to depopulate what God has created. Y'all see, this is what I want us to see, that there is a system, there is a spiritual wickedness in high places, and few of us rarely get to see or understand that what we're seeing is not the reality. God has to get us beyond this, what we see. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in you and I. Christ said, my kingdom is what? Not of
this world. This world.
You see that? Christ came. He was passing through. The cross, he knew his purpose. And at the cross, he defeated Satan. So Satan, we know the story. Satan is defeated, but how many of us are overcomers and walking in victory? Because if our faith is not in the right object, then we will not walk in victory. We'll walk in deception. See, your level of perception or how much you see and understand is dependent upon how much you decrease in the kingdom of God, how much you are crucified with Christ. If you're not willing to change, and this is why I said we have to learn to apply truth, we have to obey the word of God from our heart, and we have to obey the right doctrine. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. We have to obey the right doctrine. Many of us, and y'all said it earlier, many people are under ministries and churches and teachings that's really pointing us away from Christ and him crucified. We may mention the name Jesus, but if we're not seeing Christ in the totality of his death at Calvary and what it accomplished, then and how it applies to my daily living, it's not just a story or something I read, and it's not just a thing that I just call on, oh, yeah, God is good. It's not a generic thing. No, we have to get to the point where we see and know for ourselves. Each of us are responsible for taking the word of God and seeking him. Be a Berean in Acts 17. Paul preached, they took the word, and they diligently searched to find out the truth. They weren't critiquing Paul. They were simply trying to find out, study to know truth. When the woman at the well came running saying, come see a man, something in them was ignited to go to Christ for themselves. This is you and I. We're not here to force people to embrace Christ. We're not here to get mad at people because they don't follow us in our way, right? But if we live it and we express it through our daily living, something in you, people will detect when the Spirit of God has transformed your heart and life from the inside out.
Amen.
Amen. So let's start at Romans. Any questions before we get to Romans 6:17? And we're going to go as the Spirit leads tonight. My intent is to go to Revelation chapter 4. But like I said, as the Spirit leads, we'll just follow, okay? So If there are no questions, Romans 6, verse 17.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
All right. So we see here Paul saying, but thanks be unto God. And in the original, I'm trying to get there so you can see what it says in the original. It says, but God be thanked that you were slaves of the evil nature, but you obeyed out from the heart as a source, a type of teaching into which you were handed over. See that? Where you, what you sit under matters. If it's not the right form of doctrine or type of teaching, you will not, you will continue to be slaves to a nature, to a mindset, to tradition, and to previous teachings that are not from the right source. See this? He said, but God be thanked that you were slaves of the sin nature or evil nature, but you obeyed. You have to obey from the heart. See? So this word slaves mean a doulos, and we've said that in times past, right? It's a doulos. So the Bible is meant to be embraced inwardly. Remember, Satan works from the outside in. He causes us to fear from the outside, right? But God causes us to love and have power and a sound mind that comes from the inside based upon the doctrine that I have embraced. And we said the doctrine, what is the doctrine? What is the form of doctrine or the source of teaching that was handed? Paul said, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to them that are saved, what is it?
Power of God.
Amen. So the power of God. God never intended for you and I to live for him based upon our power, our might, nor our strength. We have to be broken. And we read in Psalms 51. That's where we stopped last week. So the chair just came back to my mind. We read in Psalms 51, and I don't think we finished it, but God desires a broken and a contrite spirit. See this? Because we were slaves of the evil nature. So if we were slaves, that means body, soul, and spirit was a slave. So now that Christ has come in to break that dominion that the evil nature, sin nature had over me, I got to learn how to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Because guess how I'm going to be transformed? If the mind ain't transformed, I don't care what you do. Outwardly, how you dress the body, how much you go to church, how much you listen to certain preachers or whatever, if there is no renewed mind by embracing from the heart the doctrine of Jesus Christ and him crucified, you will not be liberated. You will not be made free from any the bondages that are within us. This is the whole purpose of Christ coming, is to make men free, to set the captives free. What is he setting us free from? The bondage that we had or were in before salvation. So although it's the sin's power over us has been broken, the reality is I'm still walking, unless I reckon or take into account what Christ has done. See, the whole thing, whole point and purpose, he wants to liberate us. And we'll see that in verse 18. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
So in verse 18, because they embraced that right, the right form of doctrine, see, what happened in verse 18? Being what? Made.
Being made free from sin.
From sin.
He became
if
the servant of righteousness.
Right, I'm sorry. Okay. If we don't embrace the right doctrine, y'all bear with me. I don't know what's happening here. But if we don't embrace the right doctrine, how can we be made free?
Can't. Amen.
See this? Notice it says being then made free. Being made free from the sin nature. This is the problem that we're having in church today or in circles. We're gathering, but have we been made free by embracing the right form of doctrine? See that? We have to embrace the right form of doctrine.
Amen.
The form of doctrine is just simply the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we said, Paul said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. For the preaching of the cross is to them that are saved the power of God. It's the word of the cross. That's the doctrine. If I go in and I embrace 40 days of purpose, or if I embrace, it can be any doctrine, the Lutheran doctrine or the Baptist doctrine, or it doesn't matter. If I put the rules of the church tradition above that, which is Christ and Him crucified, I'm not going to be made free. And the problem is we get them in church and we tell them they need Christ and the cross to be saved, but the problem is when they need to be delivered or liberated, we tell them that they got to work, they got to pay tithes, you got to join something. You got to be a member of something. And this is a biggie. You got to have a covering. Uh-oh. Man is not big enough to cover my sins. Y'all hear me? Man is not big enough to cover my faults and my failures. I need somebody much greater, that's bigger than that, bigger than man.
Man.
So we go and make these doctrines and make people feel if you're sick and you're not a member of something, then first thing I want to tell you, well, you need a covering. That's not why. No, the covering that I need is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because what does the song say? It reaches from the highest mountain to where?
Lewis Valley.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So based upon the doctrine you and I embrace that's delivered. Now remember, it says the doctrine of salvation, it is true that according to the original version, the doctrines of salvation were delivered to us, and we, by the grace of God, believed them. See? However, that is not what Paul said in the Greek. The verb delivered is second person plural. So the Greek text reads, the form of doctrine into which you were delivered, that is, in salvation, God constituted the believer according to this chapter, inwardly, so that he would react to the doctrines of grace by nature. So in other words, when you and I got saved, God equipped us with the divine nature so that when I heard the doctrine, the right gospel, y'all ever hear so all these different doctrines and then one day you hear something that just prick you in your spirit, man.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit in you, like, that's it. You don't know why, but it's like something, it just pricks your interest and that is the Spirit of God inwardly causing you to react to the doctrine of grace by nature, the divine nature. See this? The divine, now that we're saved, the divine nature is now responsible for leading you and I. The Holy Spirit.
Right.
The person of the Holy Spirit is now placed in us because we received him, and his job is to tear down, to uproot, to destroy, to throw down, to cast down. This is what Jeremiah said, so that God can plant and build the right way. So he has to have the right foundation. The right foundation is the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I may go to church for 50 years and never have or never hear the right foundation, the right doctrine.
Yeah.
See this?
Yeah.
So the reason why I don't change from the inside out is because I built on the wrong foundation. Remember the two houses, the one that was a hearer and a one that heard only and the one that heard and did, the two look the same, right? It said the two houses were built, but it was the foundation the foundation were different. One was built on sand and the other on a rock. Y'all remember that parable?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody find it while I'm talking, and we'll run over there and see it in a second. So it was two foundations, and they both looked alike, but it was one thing that happened that determined what they were made of, and it was a storm. None of us are exempt from problems, none of us. But the difference is he that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Faith in the right object, faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anytime you see faith substitute, this is the doctrine that's been delivered to us. This is the teaching, and it's the teaching of the cross, the word of the cross. For the word of the cross, that's what it says in the original, is to them that are saved the power. So the only way I can overcome is because my faith is in the right object. This is why these two houses look the same outwardly, but the foundation showed or revealed where they stood. Have y'all found it yet?
No, what was it that you was the faulty foundation?
I think it was talking about the hearer and the doer, and it showed how one was built on a rock.
Okay.
The other one was built on sand.
Right.
Founded on a rock.
About women. Okay, go ahead. I'm looking.
Okay.
I found the wrong one.
So, I think it's Luke 6. Yeah, Luke 6 is one of them. Let's go to this right quick. Luke 6. If y'all got it. It's talking about the foundations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Luke 6, and I think it's verse 46. So remember what we were talking about. It's more important to know his ways than just to know the acts, know just getting blessed by God, getting things from God. Okay, the whole point and purpose is for us to grow, to come to know something, this doctrine. Christ is the way to God the Father. The cross is the way to Christ, and the way to the cross is through a denial of self. If we're not willing to die to self, to change, if we want things to just be according to tradition in our own way, we're not going to see Christ in his fullness. The Holy Spirit is in you and I to make us see the cross better, Christ in him, the purpose of that better. There's a lot of stuff in this Bible. There are patterns, there's hidden mystery things that God will not show to the prideful, to those of us that's not willing to change. He actually said he spoke in parables because he only wanted those who were seeking after him to know it. See this? So when we go seeking to be intellectual and all this stuff, there are some things the Holy Spirit, he has to reveal this. The word is spirit and life. So he's building us on a right foundation. But before you can build properly, you got to tear down, okay? He has to tear down. If I'm not willing to be torn down, he said, anyone that's willing to lose his life as he know it will find it. But if you try to save your life as you know it, then you will lose spiritual life. See this?
Amen.
Okay. So in Luke 6, let's start at verse 46. It's talking about the building of the foundation.
When we finish, I found it in Matthew 7, 24 through 27,
okay.
Too.
Okay. That's another one. I think they say the same. But
Luke
6. We'll start at verse 46.
Verse 46.
Uh-huh.
And why call ye me Lord, 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 and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock.
Okay, let's stop right there. Now, Notice he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things I say? Remember we just read? The word can't be just amen it and quote it. It's got to be obeyed. He said, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Okay? So God is looking for obedience, not sacrifice. He says it's better to obey. Because in obeying, you're showing your love for him over your desire to just be seen outwardly and to do your will. You're promoting his will over your will. Sacrifice is your will. You know what I mean? Sacrifice is something we do to show the world that, hey, look at me. Look what I offered, Cain. You know, I brought you something, a work of my hand, but I didn't bring you what you required because I want a pat on the back. It's about me. See this?
Mm-hmm.
Cain was not willing to decrease and love God enough because he was trying to outwardly please God based upon his own efforts, his own planning, his own scheming. See, this is many of us in the body of Christ. We're planning and scheming, and we're loyal and faithful. But in our hearts, there's covetousness, there's bitterness, anger, wrath. We're not allowing the Spirit of God to address those things. So outwardly, I may act a part, but let the storm come. It will reveal what type of house or what type of foundation I was built upon. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he says, whoever comes to me, whoever truly accepts Christ, and here's my saying, the word of God, and does them. See this? God mm-hmm. honors me doing it more than me saying it or hearing it. So the hearing must culminate in doing. So I got to hear it properly in order to do it properly. And the Spirit of God is responsible for prompting you and I to do it. Remember, he's putting into us God's will and God's desire as I yield and surrender to his way. See, a lot of us, we don't want to yield to God's way. It's okay while we're in church or on Bible study, but in actuality, when it's time to apply it, God gets a lot of resistance. And it's not dealing with everyday circumstances. It is. God's looking at everything we do. And he's saying, are they applying faith in my word? Or they're showing more dependence on themselves, on men, or whatever. Okay? So here he says, I will show you to whom he is like. This is the end result of someone who accepts him and hears his saying and does them. In 48, he said, he is like a man which built an house. We ought to grow in grace and knowledge and dig deep. Uh-oh. He didn't say just hear it on Sunday morning. He didn't say even just to read it. Y'all hear me? Because what did the Pharisees do? He said they searched the scriptures and because they thought they had life, but the scriptures testified of him. We need to dig deep and see Christ in every area and aspect of the word of God. There are some hidden things there. There is a whole lot of stuff where Christ, it paints a picture. If we understand, even in like the book of Ruth, if we see and understand the Levite law where there was a kinsman redeemer, even in Leviticus, they talked about, even before Ruth, they talked about the law of gleaning, the law of how they had to leave the people that gleaned the land or planted, they had to leave some of the wheat or whatever they had there. They had to leave some for the poor. All of that came back in the book of Ruth. And then you had to see where Christ, through Boaz, was the kinsman redeemer. Adam was our representative man. Christ came as the kinsman redeemer. You see this? He was the last Adam. Adam, Christ had to be a man. If you were a kinsman redeemer, you had to accept the responsibility of embracing the bride or this lady and everything else that came with it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy before Boaz, he wanted to take the land and all that other stuff, but he didn't want the bride. Christ was willing to be the kinsman redeemer. He was Adam's kinsman. Adam was a representative man, but he failed. See? We needed to be redeemed. Christ stepped in and said, okay, I'll take the bride. I'll take the land. I'll do all those things. And so what he did was he redeemed us. You see this?
Amen.
He grafted us in as a church, and he had Israel who rejected him. So my point is, when we dig deep, and that's what I'm saying, can't just read these scriptures on the surface and say, I read. No, there has to be, you have to take these books and study them and understand and see Christ in the center. And as we see him as the center focus, even in Genesis at the beginning, when Adam and Eve took the fig leaves, notice he took a animal skin and a coat of skin and covered them. There has to be the shedding of innocent blood, and it shows how the lamb and the sin offering, the skin had to be removed. You see what I'm saying? So as we come, we have to come to see how all this stuff tie in to Christ. So it's just like a helicopter, or if we're walking in a valley, you can only see where you're at. And then when we're just reading book after book, you can only see where you're at. You read it as a story, and you're trying to tie it in. But when you're in a helicopter or airplane and you go, you zoom out, y'all understand what I'm saying? You see a bigger picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to get an overview and understand the overview of what the Bible is about. It's about, like I said, God has a plan, but Satan comes in to thwart the plan of God. But God, through his efforts and through his maneuvering, see, Satan cannot outmaneuver God. Even though it sometimes appears as if we are losing, guess what? We win.
Amen.
You see that? Even though Satan is so deceived that he thinks that he can outwit God because he took the title deed of the earth from man. See this? When we read in Revelation, we see this lamb in Revelation 5 where nobody could step up and get this title deed back. And this scroll that we see is a title deed of the earth. And this is why John wept bitterly. Otherwise, we'll stay under Satan's rule. He continued to be the taskmaster here on this earth, and we have to continue to live in sorrow. But when he looked up and he saw a lamb which had been slain, stepped up, and he opened, or he took the seals, he was worthy, and all of heaven fell down and worshiped. See, we got to see all that. So this is digging deep. This is digging deep. This is better than whatever's on CNN. This is better than what's on BET. Y'all see what I'm saying? This is better than HBO, because Satan owns all that. And all he wants to do is distract us from digging deep into the Word of God, and lay the foundation on a rock. The Holy Spirit has to dig deep into our hearts and lives to lay the right foundation. And the rock is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's in 1 Corinthians 1:23, where he said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, the Greeks foolishness, but unto those that are saved, it's the power of God." It was foolish to the Greeks because they found it difficult to accept as God a dead man hanging on a cross. That was foolishness. See, the world think Christianity is foolishness. I hear some church folks, people that go to church, and they just talk junk about Christianity and Christians. I've heard them. But they go to church, and they just hate. Y'all see what I'm saying? So here it says, and when the flood arose, see, everybody's going to have problems. None of us are exempt. None of us are exempt from our problems, any problems. We're just like the world. God reign on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
So problems will arise. We should not fear when problems arise. This is the perfect opportunity. Nobody wants to go through problems, but guess what? They're necessary because what? It's going to reveal what you're founded upon. God has to reveal, because most of the time we don't see it. We're the ones that's out of the loop. God, like, I already know where you at. Mm-hmm. But you're the one still talking about you got faith. Well, since you got faith, all faith has to be tested. And great faith has to be tested greatly. Job's faith had to be tested greatly. He went through all the motions. He loved God. He stood there. He did all his sacrifice, even did it for his kids. There was faith there. And God had to test it, because there are some areas in our heart and lives where we don't have the right perception of God. See this?
Amen.
But faith in the right foundation, the cross of Christ, watch what happens. The stream beat vehemently upon that house, right? So it says Satan will try to destroy the house. That's what Satan is after today. He's trying to destroy the house. Every Christian, everybody that says they're a Christian, he's going to, through all this stuff that's happening, if you're not looking spiritually, you won't see it. But if you're spiritually looking, you'll see the spirit of Antichrist at work. And it's trying to break the house, destroy the house. All this stuff that's happening is revealing where Christians, so-called Christians, say they stand, but they're not standing. COVID-19 didn't just happen. God can use it to, Satan brings it to break us or destroy us, but God will use it to reveal or to refine us. Y'all see this? Mm-hmm. He wants our yes to be yes. He wants our no to be no. He doesn't want us to bow. He wants us to be able to stand up in the midst when the enemy comes in to threaten our livelihood and to threaten us. He wants us to be able to stand on the rock. You see this? So what happens when the storm came and it beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it? See, this is what God wants, because in Hebrews, I think it was 5, I'm not mistaken, he talks about, or 12, it talks about everything that can be shaken will fall off. But there's going to come a point in time where whatever's not shaken or whatever doesn't fall off, that will stay. God's going to do some shaking, see? And God will allow some things to shake us, because he doesn't want whatever's not of faith to remain. This is the purpose of our trials. Whatever's not of faith, it needs to fall off, so that we can become rooted and grounded on the rock of our salvation and not be shaken when the enemy comes in and threaten your life, threaten to take away things. Guess what? Standing on the rock, this is what it means when he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You and I have to exhibit faith. See, if you read the Bible, every Christian, everybody that followed the way of God, Jehovah God, was persecuted. There was a point in time where they were persecuted. Look at the book of Acts. What do we see? We don't see the church just, okay, everything's fine. And when there was no persecution, they were married with the state, or they were religious with the Pharisees. Look at Paul, who was first Saul, right? Saul had it going on. He said, hey, I was a Jew. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. I was next in line to be the top Pharisee. He had it going on. There was no persecution. But as soon as Saul became Paul, what happened?
Everything.
Say that again.
Everything happened to him.
Yes, and the very people that he thought was his buddies and friends, they were trying to kill him. He couldn't go to a city. Every city he went to preaching the gospel, they came after him. And then in one instance, the Jews were trying to beat him up so bad that the Romans had to step in and get him out. Y'all see what I'm saying? He was built upon the rock. In another instance, they had stoned him. He got back up and went into the city and preached again.
Amen.
The people were so fearful and shaken by Paul that they said, Paul and Silas, two men had turned a city upside down. So if one can chase 1,000, two, 10,000, what are we doing? What are we doing? When the world gets to barking and breathing down our necks, why are we shaking in fear? while we move, while we causing or allowing the world to push us to do things, and we're all fearful, oh, I'm going to go, and don't, see, we die due to a lack of knowledge. He said, my people perish due to a lack of knowledge. Then he said, the sons of Issachar were given understanding of the time so the people would know what to do. These times that we're living in, what we see and hear is not the reality. God will give you the reality, understanding of the times. He would give you understanding what's happening. He will let you see the reality. But if you're stuck and listening, who the voice that you listen to will determine how you stand here on earth. A lot of people have been cut, life have been cut short because they paid attention to the illusion. Satan works through deception. What we see is not the reality. That's why God says we walk by faith, not by what? We don't walk by what we hear and see on this earth. God has a wisdom that's deep. See, we have to dig deep to find out the reality and the truth of what is happening in this world system so that we can stand when the floods rise up, when the stream beat against us vehemently. God will give you an answer in the midst. So remember in the book of Luke, Jesus came and he wept because he said the people were, oh, look at our building, look at our temple, it's so beautiful and all this. And he wept, he said, because the people, he came to gather them, but they would not. And he said, because you wouldn't come, you're more focused on what you saw, what you heard, Rome will destroy you. The true Christians, in 70 A.D., Rome came and destroyed the temple, but then some more years later, he laid flat. They destroyed the city. No true Christian or follower of Christ was there. The only people that were destroyed were those that were enamored by the buildings, the edifices, those that were caught up in the religion of the Jews. You see that, Judaism. It wasn't the true Christians. What am I saying? It's the same today. Although the world may breathe down our necks and do all these things and to different whatever persecution, God will make a way of escape. You see what I'm saying? But you and I have to dig deep to know. If I'm prideful, if I'm arrogant, and if I fall in line with the world and turn my nose and laugh at what God has revealed, the truth of his word, they laugh at Elijah. They laughed at, y'all see what I'm saying? But who was left without water and starving? God fed Elijah through a raven and a little puddle of water or whatever, right? He took care of Elijah. Then he took him, and the woman with her little cakes, she fed him. So my point is God will take care of us. Yes. But we have to dig deep in his word and allow the foundation to be built on the right. See, don't get caught up in what you see. Remember David, when Saul came out of him, he ran him away from the temple of God. He ran him away because he was trying to kill him. And they went into the cave of Adullam, right? And it said everybody that was disgusted, depressed, oppressed, whatever, they followed David in the cave. David was a type of Christ. In this life, we're going to have persecution. We're going to have tribulation. What did he say? Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Why? Because he has overcome the world. So he's laying the foundation. Don't get caught up in the hype of popular ministry and I follow this person and this and that. No, you may be in the midst of two or three people, but if those two or three people are founded upon the rock and could not shake, the storm couldn't shake it, because it was founded upon a rock. This is a person that hears and does the will of God. See this? Allows the process of the cross to take place in their heart and life. Now, what about verse 49?
But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built on a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of their house was great.
Okay. So this person that heard but did not do, doesn't obey the word. See this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a man that without a foundation. So the object of his faith is not the cross of Christ. Let's equate that to this foundation. So a person without their faith in the cross, this is what happened. He hears only, but he does not do it because he's not prompted by the Spirit of God. He may be prompted by his own selfish desires, ambitions. Y'all see what I'm saying? So he went on and he built a house upon the earth. So he outwardly, this one looked identical to the one built on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
See this? Satan is always after mimicking what God, the reality that God creates. He wants to mimic it. Even in the book of Revelation, he will try to mimic a holy trinity between the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. See this? He will make the world think that they're the Messiah. He will make it look like it was wounded and died and came back to life. You see what I'm saying? This world we're in is not the reality, and we as Christians have to wake up because outwardly we see stuff, but the reality is a lot of these things are not built on the rock. They're built upon the earth, okay? So how do I know who and what they are? So when a storm or situation happened, and I keep using COVID or anything, any situation, when the storm, when these things happen, this is when we see what their foundation is made of, what our foundation is made of, okay? So when the storm comes, and it's not to ridicule anybody because it's just to show us the error, the wrong direction we've taken. So when the storms come and the trials is to come, it's going to be on both. But we're not Christians by what we do. We're Christians by how we respond in a situation. That reveals what my foundation is made of. Am I built upon the earth? Am I caught up in the earth and what's going on outwardly around me and what I see? Or do I walk by faith and allow the Spirit of God to develop me, to be Christ-like, to overcome my problems and obstacles? See, there's a doctrine out there now that makes us think that we're not to have problems. That's building on the earth. There's doctrine out there to make us think that everything is going to be well. God is just going to bless us, and there's just going to be peace on earth. No, Christ said, I came to divide. I came to set a daughter against her mother, a son against the father. Y'all see what I'm saying? His intent was not to divide, but because he came, he said, I came not with peace but a sword. Everybody, he knew that what he was entering in, this world, that everybody or mostly everybody was controlled or slave to sin. So his presence will agitate us. His presence will cause those who were prideful to turn their nose up against him and try to have him killed, right? Killed.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So if our faith is not in the cross of Christ, things may go well for a while, but it says sooner or later the storm will come and Satan will win the day. That's why don't ever look at things. It may look like you just down and out and you just lost and whatever, but that doesn't mean that's the reality.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit in us may have to tear down some stuff to get me to get the right perspective on things. Y'all see, there may be some relationships that have to go through being torn down. Some marriages have to go through being torn down. But we don't run from the problems. We have to stand there and stand on the rock, stand for what's right. When raising children and fathers are provoking those children to anger and wife, you're supposed to be spiritual, and you have to stand and for what's right, even if it may cause confrontation. or vice versa. You see what I'm saying? Because the Bible says don't provoke your children to wrath. You may be the only one standing in your family for what's right. People may ridicule you, laugh, or whatever, especially when dealing with these worldly, these things happening in the world. Very few people want to stand on truth with these issues in the world. We should be the loudest ones in church crying out against some of these things that the world is doing that's inhumane. But the fear of what people think of us comes in and stops us. You see what I'm saying? But if you're founded and built on the rock, you know who you are in Christ, and it doesn't matter what the world thinks. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So,
Amen.
Let's go to, I think I said 2 Peter, and I got a few minutes, and then we'll close because I just wanted to see. We're talking about, I think it was 2 Peter chapter, or maybe it was chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, let's do that one.
2 Peter 1?
Yes, ma'am. Yep, it's 2 Peter 1. Now, we were talking about, because Sister Cynthia brought up about the Holy Spirit in us and how faith has to be, how he's moved by faith. In the cross, we just saw the foundation has to be laid right. If the foundation is not laid right, the Holy Spirit cannot work. The Holy Spirit cannot properly build, okay? Everything about the temple, everything, Moses had to go, and not only, I know we see in the movies where Charlton Heston came out with the two stones or tablets of the Ten Commandments, but he should have also came out with a blueprint of the Bible or the Torah or what have you that showed how God had given Moses the instructions on how to build the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. He not only gave him the Ten Commandments, he gave him a whole bunch of instructions about this tabernacle and the sacrificial system, okay?
Amen. That's what I'm studying on now regarding, and it is so interesting about, you always hear about Moses came down with the law, but you never hear he also came down with the blueprint of the tabernacle.
Yes, amen.
Because you couldn't have a law without having the blueprint of the tabernacle.
Amen.
So interesting.
Yes, ma'am. Very good point. And he had, and in there, God didn't just use Moses. He told him, use Bezalel and use this person and use that person who could do very, had the gift. The Spirit of God came upon them to build all this stuff that was required. So the burden wasn't just on Moses, but Moses was responsible to make sure that whatever was done according to the blueprint.
Amen.
Amen. So here, if it was that important then, what do you think about now? Because we kind of like think, well, Christ fulfilled the law, so we good to go. No, God is still the same God. He still requires. Christ fulfilled it. We just don't have to go through the ceremonial part of all that because he fulfilled it, right? But I still have to honor my part and come to God by evidence and faith. The same way they evidence faith in what the blood would accomplish based upon them killing that innocent lamb is the same way I evidence faith in what Christ accomplished already. See, this is why faith has to be, they had to have their faith in what that animal sacrifice represented. God hasn't changed. He still wants, I don't have to bring these animals, but I still have to exhibit faith. But I, instead of looking to the animal sacrifice, I look back to what he's already done.
Amen.
So let's start in 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start at verse 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to read the notes with you, Sister Cherry. So verse 1, it says the position of servant is first, or placed first, If one cannot be a true servant for the Lord, then one cannot be an apostle. The Lord guides the church by the office of the apostle through the particular message given to the individual, which will always coincide directly with the word of God. Apostles aren't elected. They are called of God. So we have to be careful because nowadays everybody got a title of apostle, bishop, prophet, what have you, right?
Yeah.
Normally people with these positions, they're not going to flaunt their titles. When you hear these people talking about apostles, such and such, and so on, most of the time they're not called because that's ego. They will walk in it. Now notice he says here, Simon Peter, a servant. See that?
Yeah.
That's the first, that's a doulos or slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. These were the original 12 apostles, so they had their titles, but it wasn't to flaunt. Today, you see a lot of people using those titles because of ego, right? And if the way you know whether they're apostle, prophet, or whatever, listen to the message they're preaching. If it's not centered around Christ and Him crucified, that'll tell you a lot. If they're not a servant first, trust me. If they're not focusing on the cross, which makes them humble enough to be a servant, they are not an apostle or whatever they titles they got. Okay? So notice it says, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us, he includes himself, how? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ, through exhibiting faith in Christ. That's the only way we can obtain the righteousness of God. It says, to them who have obtained the like precious faith with us. So the Gentiles were saved the same way. Everybody saved the same way, and that's through the cross. Keep going.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
This is both sanctifying grace and sanctifying peace, all made available by the cross. So that means that it will multiply. It will increase. The grace you had yesterday and the peace we had yesterday is not enough to get us through today. We need more. See this? We need more grace and more peace. All of this is through the process of the process of sanctification, where we're being changed. We're being delivered. We're being set free. How does it come? Through the knowledge of God. How am I to get the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ? Always when you see "and of our Lord Jesus," it's always talking about what he accomplished on our behalf at Calvary. Keep going, Sister Terry.
According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Okay, it says the Lord with large-handed generosity has given us all things. Pertains to the fact that this that pertaining to life and godliness. It says pertains to the fact that the Lord Jesus has given us everything we need regarding life and living. So all of your life situations, all of my life situations, everything, every little thing, every big thing, God is involved. He wants to be involved in it. And you and I have to exhibit faith in the cross to obtain the power, the divine power. You see this? He's given us divine power.
Amen.
And this divine power is to be used to everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And how am I to obtain it? Through what?
Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue.
The knowledge addressed here speaks of what Christ did at the cross, which alone can provide glory and virtue. See how it all points back to the cross. The Holy Spirit will not, this divine power will not flow to me unless I get some knowledge and understanding of what Christ has done for me. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. So when faith is right, grace and peace is multiplied, I'm righteous, I'm the righteousness of God. You see this? He says, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us. So that like precious faith is talking about a specific type of faith. See, it ain't say your church. It ain't say being a member of something. We don't see that there, right? And we're going to read this last one, and then we're going to have to close because I think my time is up. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust,
Okay, now this will be the last one for tonight. It says here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, he done went from those who obtain like precious faith. This is the precious faith. See? And now we're given exceeding great and precious promises. It says, pertains to the word of God, which alone holds the answer to every life problem. That by these promises, that's what it's talking about, you might be what? Notice he uses might. Because it goes back to whether you are exhibiting faith and you have the knowledge. See this? You're growing in the knowledge of God through Christ, faith in the cross. That's the only way to grow. If faith is not in the cross of Christ, we can't grow right. I might be saved, but I'm not getting any knowledge, and I'm not growing, and I'm not digging deep, so I'm sitting here on the surface. Amen. God is good. And I'm never come to understand everything the Bible, what it has for me. He's saying here, there are great and precious promises for now, life and living. See that? That by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature implanted in the inner being of the believing sinner becomes the source of our new life and actions. See that? So now the source of life has to come from the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God will transform me enough where those I didn't care for, I don't mind dealing with them. Those that I didn't want to, that hurt my feelings, it's just like you just brush it off. It's bigger than that. You see what I'm saying? We have to grow into this. If the cross of Christ is not the foundation, then you won't. Now notice what he says here, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, the world uses lust to keep us in bondage to the corruption. It's corruption. See this? Satan uses our lust. He wants to keep us in bondage to our lustful desires. If I'm not growing in the cross, I'll stay there, and everything will be based upon what I see, how I feel, what I've gone through. This is why I said, don't let the spirit of this world make you think, you and I think, we're victims. We're not. We're overcomers. But if you listen and watch what's on in the world system, they'll have you thinking you won't even have the grace and peace given unto you or multiplied where you can overcome. You'll be stuck. You'll be stuck thinking you're a victim and you can't overcome a cold. This is not the spirit that God has given us. He's given us a spirit, a sound mind, power, and of love. And on that note, I'm going to close because I know we're over our time. So we'll take questions and comments at the end of the call. So those on the line, just hold on. We want to thank everyone again for tuning in tonight. We pray that we're saying some things or have said some things that will help you in your walk and your understanding of how to apply the cross to your daily living. We have to understand that God never requires for us to live for him in the energy and the power of our might, but it's always got to be by the power and strength of the Spirit of God when our faith is placed in the right object. So until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.